This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Good morning. My name is Craig Fortunato. I'm pleased to be able to, I'm privileged to come and bring to you God's Word this morning and grateful for the opportunity to do so as well. I just want to highlight once again, these things have just been a real blessing. I was out there at the tree earlier this morning reading some of your testimonies of God being with you. And it is encouraging. That is like, I'll call that the tree of encouragement back there. That is encouraging to read. And some of you have got some very fancy cursive handwriting, which is beautiful. So those of you who joined us, maybe joined us for the first time at Christmas Eve, glad that you have chosen to come back here this morning and worship with us as we're going to be going forward and seeing how God is with us in His Word. And so we're going to be taking a dive into His Word today and seeing how He is present with us through the reading and study, memorization of His Word, the Bible. So grateful for that opportunity. Juliana did a great job of reading our text for us this morning. And something that I would like to do to highlight for us is to remind us once again our five values of our church. Our five values of our church, because one of those we're going to be focusing on quite a bit here this morning. And I always want to go for with us in that and highlight these for us. Go to the five values of our church there. We elevate God's glory over ours. We elevate God's glory over ours because our effort and attitudes are to make much of God, not much of us. Okay, so our second one is we start and stay with Scripture because we believe all truth begins and ends in God's truth. Our third is we grow together in Jesus, because people and generations are made to grow better together. This is why we join in our discipleship training modules, why we join together in our life groups. Fourthly, we pray bigger than we plan because Jesus can do more than we can ask or imagine. This comes straight from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And lastly, our fifth value for our church is we go with the gospel because the nations and the neighborhoods are ready for the good news. These are the five values of our church that motivates us to move forward and what we hold and highly esteem. And we're going to really take a dive on number two. We start and stay with Scripture because we believe all truth begins and ends in God's truth. And we're going to take a look at that today. I want to start off with God's Word is truth. Some people may have questioned, is it trustworthy? And the Bible is clear in stating that it is truth. And I did some research with one of our favorite Bible preachers and teachers, and that is John Piper, and he wrote a book that came out in 2017, Reading the Bible Supernaturally. And this is a fantastic read. It's a chunk. It's over 450 pages. Let me give you a quick, this is what I felt like is one of the best concise summaries of why we can believe that God's Word is truth and worthy of our trust. Listen closely with me as I read this quote from John Piper. The Bible, consisting of the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, is the infallible Word of God, verbally inspired by God, and without error in the original manuscripts. This also implies that the scriptures are the supreme and final authority in testing all claims about what is true and right and beautiful. He continues on by saying, it implies in matters not explicitly addressed by the Bible that what is true and right and beautiful to be assessed by criteria consistent with the teachings of Scripture. And lastly, all of this implies that the Bible has final authority over every area of our lives. And that we should, therefore, try to bring all of our thinking and feeling and acting into what the Bible teaches. Amen? But it's tough to live by. It's easy to say amen to, but the Bible requires us to conform to it. The Bible requires us to make if there's going to be any bending, it's us to the Bible. And that's where it requires obedience. And why do we obey? Because we love. We love. So this is a concise statement as why the Bible is to be trusted. So if it is to be trusted, if it is trustworthy and full of all truth, then we need to be diving into it, delving deeply into it, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, teaching it, rebuking with it, conforming to it. These are the words of God. And when we take that, if you listen to that carefully, the words of God we are to capture. These are the words that he has unveiled to us and is found here in a book. In a book that we can give ourselves to, that we can gift others with. The word of God is to be treasured and to be followed, and all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our actions are to be conformed by it. And so we have to know it. So I want to look at this passage that Juliana read for us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, and we're going to take a look at the descriptors that God has placed for us to highlight, to see why we need to receive this word of God. For the word of God is living and active. The word of God typically means salvation, but in this text here, it is referring to the breath of God, the very utterance of God. These are the words of God captured by men and treasured by men and upheld by men so that we can watch and follow it today. For the word of God is alive. It is living and it is alive. Living in this means that these words are not dead words. These words are alive. And for those of you who have dedicated your lives to reading God's word, you will not be surprised to know that when you are reading it, all of a sudden you start realizing deep within your heart about the convictions of God, about the lies that are held within our own heart that are becoming exposed by the light of God. It is living. These words are alive. They are not dead, but they are alive. Thirdly, they are active. This word of God is active. It is precise. It is evident. It is clear. These words are effective. The word of God is alive, and it is living, and it is active. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We don't see swords very much in today's day and age, but back then they used swords. They were shorter. And if you had a two-edged sword, it was even more effective. And God's word is often referred to as a sword, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6, when it's talking about taking up the armor of God, or when Jesus returns in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about the word is a two-edged sword. And a two-edged sword is sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword this Bible is declared. And so then we realize that how is a sword being effective with two edges that are sharp? It's by piercing. Piercing. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. You take a sword and you pierce with a two-edged sword, it has tremendous usefulness. It has tremendous cutting ability. It's cutting clean, and it's a very keen cut. This piercing is an ability to penetrate deeply. And we're going to see where that's going next, because all this invasive action is coming in a direct, penetrating, deep, piercing way. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. This is of the whole person, the pneuma and the psyche, the whole person of the mind and of the will. And piercing between that is, how can you separate the whole person? This is impacting the whole person, is where the word of God is impacting as it penetrates. And it penetrates and the discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This word discerning is talking about a judgment between what is right and wrong, and that is oftentimes what is in our hearts, is there's right and there's wrong. It's not always wrong, it's not always sinful, but there are right intentions of the heart, but certainly there are lies that we all carry with us from a very young age. Sinful lies that we don't believe correctly as we ought. And that's what the Word of God is for, is to illuminate the lies that are within our own hearts. Lies such as, you need to have this abortion, otherwise your life will be ruined. Lies that say, you need to cheat on this test, otherwise you're going to lose your scholarship. Lies that say that you need to speed past all sort of traffic to get to your meeting so you will not be thought of less likely. We entertain these lies of sin that are held deep within the hallways of our heart. And God's word is here for us to illumine these dark places in our hearts, to illuminate with the word of God, with the promises of hope, the promises of his love, and the promises of his holiness. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who must give account. The eyes that expose, this is the eyes of our Father in heaven. All creatures, all man, all women, all children, all creatures will be able to have to give account. For he is the creator of all. And so the creator has given us his words that we should know, we should live by, we should hide deep within our hearts. This passage is revealing to us just how important God's word is. I want to bring to you guys some of the Psalm 119, just a few verses. This is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, the longest chapter of the Psalms. Psalm 119 is a long Hebrew acrostic poem of love for God's word. And I'm just going to read for you just a few of them. A few verses starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. My whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your heart, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare with all the rules of your mouth, in the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And it continues, stanza after stanza. A love for God's word. One of my favorite verses is in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This tells me about how back then the light that was presented for people, lanterns, it would provide just enough light for the next step. And that's where God wants us. He wants his word illuminating our next steps just in front of us so that we continue to walk in dependence upon him. This is the word of God. This is how we know that God is with us. He's with us in his word because he is his word. His word is to be trusted. His word is to be trusted. So how is God with us now? He's with us in his word. It is living and it is active. Trust that God is with you as you digest this living and active promises of his word. Trust him in this. Devote your life to it. This will inform your view of life, your Christian worldview of life, and how you make your decisions, how your thoughts can be informed, and how your words can be constructed. This is how we can do that moving forward. Trust that God is with you as you digest the living and active promises of his word. This moment, I want to bring up my friend and chairman of our elder board, Brad Miller, and I want to ask him some questions. As a man who has dedicated his life to the Word of God, to knowing the Word of God, to loving the Word of God. And so, Brad, thank you for joining us. I want these people to be able to hear from you how God's Word has shaped you. And tell us a little bit about how it is that you came to know God so that God's Word could come into your life. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. So at the age of 21, I was a bad boy, dishonest, lazy, rebellious, not submissive, and got to the point where I despised life. I hated life and the guys I ran with. Now, this is in a small country town, so not the same as growing up in a big city and being that bad boy, but bad boys are bad boys. And so once I got into the scriptures, I began to see God's mind and heart, and I really wanted to change. And so I began to get some help. I wouldn't have made it alone, by the way. So a couple of guys came alongside me and began to help me, hold me accountable to God's word. I began to read it, memorize it, study it every day. And then learn to obey it and get some accountability with that. So in a year or two, it really changed a lot about me. Character comes more slowly. My character, I became, you might call, sophisticated. I knew the word, but I really wasn't, my character wasn't reflecting that. Over time, that changed too. God's word changed my life. Without that, I would have destroyed my life even further going forward.
Now, how old were you when you started reading God's Word?
21.
21. And he just turned
73.
He just turned 73 on Christmas Eve. So that's a lot of reading God's Word.
Yes.
A lot of applying it, memorizing it. So tell us, you know, as part of the elder board, you do a great job of training us younger elders and men in the church. You lead a discipleship training module on Sunday mornings. Why is Bible reading so important to those who believe in Jesus Christ? Why is that?
Okay, so like what you preached this morning, one of my favorite verses would be the one that we're dealing with this morning, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is powerful. I often like to use the idea of a grizzly bear. I suppose you had a grizzly bear in a cage. What would you have to do to convince people that a grizzly bear is powerful and dangerous? Well, you could talk about it. But what's the best thing to do? Open the door and let it loose. The grizzly bear will take care of itself. That's the way the Word of God is. So the Word of God has power that man's word doesn't have. And I've found that if people will trust God's word, things change quickly. So for instance, in Hebrews 3, at the end of the chapter, talking about the Israelites who didn't enter into God's rest in the new kingdom that he had in mind, is because they didn't obey. And they didn't obey because they didn't trust God. So I find that if I don't trust God, I won't obey. I also find that if I won't obey, I won't trust God. And so I learned I have to do both. I have to trust God and I have to obey. They go together. They're inseparable. And so I found that God's word then was able to lead me out of my rebellion, teach me how to submit, teach me how to love others. But by the way, I needed help. I couldn't do this alone. Also found that once I began to teach others, that really drives away hypocrisy real quick. Because if you're going to fake it and you start teaching others, you get found out real quick. And so that helped me understand God's word even more once I had to explain it.
That's good. You talk quite a bit about the importance of doing this life not alone.
Yes.
And there's value in reading the Bible together. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Okay, so the scriptures teach this, that we are a body of Christ. We're not a group of individuals. And so I'll give an example. So when I first began having quiet times, I was taught to have them every day. And the guy said, now, Brad, I want you to limit yourself to 10 minutes for a quiet time. And I was given some things to learn to do. I had no idea what I was doing. So pray first, then read part of a chapter. I couldn't go very far. I'm a slow reader. By the way, those signs you see along the road, slow children crossing, that's for people like me, slow children. So read slowly, pay attention to it, and then make an application, write something down, and pray about that. Do that every day for 10 minutes. It took me a month to get to a point where I did it every day. And without his help, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So first he did it with me, and then he held me accountable to do it. So pretty soon it began to change, but it was a couple of months before I got some discipline going. It was a lot longer before I really learned to love the Word of God, because at first I didn't enjoy it because I had all these other things that I loved of the world. And slowly the Word of God began to change and take that away, and then I began to love God.
That's a better way of saying what I was trying to talk about. In our hearts, we have these lies, which we can actually see as they're really sinful promises. We believe them. Yes. We believe them, and we entertain them, and it takes the Word of God to expose those. Yeah. And it does take an effort to get into God's Word. But I resonate with what you're saying. When you put in the miles, you put in the miles with gut reading God's Word, it becomes to become enjoyable. And I resonate with that. Why? There's people out here that I've heard many people talk about when it comes to memorizing Scripture. Well, they'll say, well, I just can't do that. I'm old. I can't remember things. I just can't do that. I can read Bible, but I can't memorize Scripture. What do you say to people like that?
Okay, so memorizing Scripture took me a lot of effort to learn to do it. I need a lot of help. But what I found with memorizing Scripture is, as I went over and over it and got some help from somebody, then pretty soon I began to be able to memorize it. Not a great memorizer either, but I've learned to do better. More than that is, I found by having it memorized, Americans are busy. They're running all over, 40 miles an hour in every direction. And so I found that having God's Word in my mind, I didn't have to have my Bible. Now I can meditate on it wherever I'm going, wherever I'm walking or driving, as long as I pay attention to the road, that sort of thing. But now I can meditate on it, and pretty soon it begins to absorb into me. God's Spirit enables that to become part of my spirit and my thinking and my mind and my heart. And so again, it was a lot of discipline at first. I didn't like it. But the process I didn't like, the result was great, because it changed my mind, changed my heart, changed the direction of my life. But again, I had to have help.
Needed help. So don't do it by yourself. You needed help. Patience, because it's hard in the beginning. Do you know how many verses you've memorized?
No. And if I did, I wouldn't say so, because it would become a pride thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that road.
What are you working on right now?
Colossians chapter 3.
Yeah. Plans in reading the Bible, I think, are very, very helpful. They've been very, very helpful to me. There's many plans out there. This year is about equipping our congregation. We're re-equipping you. And so that's a big reason why we're up here talking the way we are today. But we want to equip you by going to our website, and under tools, you're going to see a whole list of opportunities for reading plans, and a whole, like several links. There's five different links on how to read your Bible and why you should read your Bible. And I've learned a lot, relearned a lot through some of those links there. Some people are thinking about reading the Bible in a year, coming up here in just a few weeks. They're thinking about starting January 1st with a new goal of reading through the Bible in a year. I want to get your impressions on that, because, you know, reading the Bible in a year can be a tall task for many people. You look at it and it looks pretty intimidating. Many have tried it and failed once they get to about Leviticus, about February 10th. They get tired. They get maybe even bored. But the research says that if you read 15 minutes a day, you can read the Bible in a year. It equates to 70 hours of typical reading. You can read the Bible in 70 hours. Most Americans watch 70 hours of TV a month. So if you avoided TV for a month and you devoted it to reading your Bible, you would accomplish the Bible in that month. It really is attainable. But before I get your opinion about reading plans, something that I'm going to dedicate my Bible reading to this year coming up is I'm going to take your recommendation that you put in there real quick, is whatever I read that day, whether it's one chapter or 15 minutes a day or whatever my reading plan tells me to do, I am going to write down one item that God gave me through his reading. One item, one sentence, what God spoke to me that day. I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to write it down again, and I'm going to pray about it. Because it's too easy for me to forget what I just read. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to dedicate myself to that. I've read that somewhere else. David Mathis mentioned that. You're mentioning that. I'm going to start doing that this coming year. What do you think about reading plans?
Reading plans is a good idea because much of what we've already talked about is some detail in getting to know God's word. But it's also helpful to have the big picture. And reading through the Bible quickly in a year, you have to kind of rip through it. But it gives you the big picture, Old and New Testament. It's all one story, all one word of God. And both are helpful to understand what God is thinking and how he originated all this, how he developed this, and therefore how it can develop in my life.
Yeah.
Big picture as well as detail.
Yeah. There's plans that you can read through the Bible in 3 years. There is so many plans out there, reading through the Psalms and Proverbs and can do... You were doing that earlier this year when Brad and I were meeting. I said, Brad, what are you reading right now? He's like, I'm going through the Psalms slowly. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. I would love it. I would love it if each one of you devoted yourselves to reading God's word, studying it, memorizing it. And it doesn't have to be accomplishing it in a year. That's not the goal of the Christian life, of reading the Bible in a year. That's not the goal. The goal is knowing it, enjoying it, and applying it. That's the goal here. Brad, what would you want to tell the congregation here? What do you really want to tell them in regards to the Bible? What?
I'll summarize it this way. Eve was presented with God's word. And then she was presented with something else. She went with what she saw instead of what God said, and it destroyed all of us. So if you don't obey God, you're going to be part of the devil's work to destroy everyone. I want to be like God. I want to think like God. And so I want to go with what God said, not what I see.
Man, say that again. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate you so much. It's good to be around men and women who have walked with God for a long time. Encourage you to consider Brad's discipleship training module. It's going to start in a couple weeks. Want to also highlight another equipping opportunity for you. Dale Williams, part of our preaching team, he is going to be starting his Bible interpretation DTM in less than a month, January 23rd, when we start our new trimester together. So if you are interested in not just knowing more of God's word, but interpreting it correctly, because there is a correct interpretation, Dale can help you with that starting in less than a month. I want to let you know we're here to help. We're here to help you. If you're looking like, I don't have a Bible, or I don't know what version to read, or I don't know where to get started, we're here to help you. You can talk with Brad, Wes, myself, any of the elders. We're here and available to talk with you about that and pray with you and to help you. That's what we're here for. But know that this is a treasure. This is a treasure. This is beyond gold. This is a treasure that we can devote ourselves to, and it's going to inform how we parent, how we work, how we neighbor, how we love one another. Dedicate ourselves to God's word. Would you pray with me now? Father, I thank you for my friends here as we gather and we are listening to hearing how you are with us. And we want to state that we know that you are with us, God, in your word, in the reading of it, the preaching of it, teaching of it, rebuking, correcting. You are with us, God. You are for us. We are your creation and we want to be obedient to you and you alone. So help us to hide this word deep in our hearts, and that it would be a light unto our path, that we can walk in trusting in you. God, we know that this will come at a cost. following your word is not a popular way with this world at all today. It will come at a cost. But you are worth it. You are worth it. And we thank you so much for who you are in sending your son Jesus to this world. He humbled himself, lived a beautiful life, a sinless life, and died a death that was meant for us. Thank you for this tremendous sacrifice. Thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that gives us guidance today. We lift this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.